Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of bbfohio.com as we conclude our study in Revelation chapter 21, verses 15 to 23, titled, The City of God. This is part 2 of 2.
And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were, transparent glass. Again, pure gold, making it transparent. And that's why I love this picture, because we can't even really imagine it, but we'll be looking through one of the gates and see just the glow. And now, you have to understand, what you're looking at here is what the temple in the holy place was giving people a taste of. It was totally enclosed, and all they had was the menorah, as we call it, the little lampstand. That was the only source of light. But it glowed, and it would almost burn the eyes, because everything was covered in gold. So that light reflecting off of everything that's in that room, the holy place, the most holy place, it is just so bright. And that was to picture this place, where we're going to see in a minute why it's so bright, not only because of the gold. Is it any wonder that our hymn books are filled with songs about our future home? There's something wrong. Nate, we were talking about this a little while ago, about the praise music and everything. There's something wrong with a generation who doesn't want to sing about their home.
Amen.
And there's still a hunger for it, but the music is controlled mostly by unbelievers. Apostates and Roman Catholics control CCM today, and the music that's coming out, and the radio stations and all that. And they won't allow good music. And once in a while, they allow one to come out. And you remember how crazy everybody went when the group, I think it's called Mercy Me, came out with I Can Only Imagine?
Right.
What's that about? Heaven. Super huge hit. Because there are still true believers who hunger for that kind of music. But the music industry, when you call something that's supposed to be a ministry and you call it an industry, you've already got a problem right there. And that's what they call it. The people who control it call it an industry. They run it like an industry. And that's why the music stinks.
Amen.
Bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. That's what we're singing about. We all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing, shout the victory. Amen. That's what the hymn books, you look them up, there's all these songs about heaven. It's Bible believers who read their Bibles wrote those songs. And what you got today is a lot of these people writing these songs. How many of them have become popular, and then once they could so-called cross over, they totally repudiate Christianity?
Yep.
That's because they were fakes the whole time, and that's why their music stinks.
Right.
And the Christians lack the discernment to know it when it's going on. And I have tried to tell people over and over, not just me, by the way, the preachers all over the country. I've met a lot of them. I talked to a lot of them, emailed, got friends on Facebook, and they all say the same thing. They try to tell people that this is bad, and people ignore their pastors and keep buying the garbage and keep making people rich who aren't even real believers.
Amen.
And it's been at least 25 years that CCM and the whole so-called music industry has gone into the pot. And it just gets more amazing. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. See, there's going to be a tribulation temple that is going to be cursed with the Antichrist in it. That final pope is going to go in and set himself up as God in that tribulation temple. Jesus Christ is going to wipe that thing out and destroy it. Then He's going to oversee the construction of the millennial temple that is given to us in Ezekiel chapter 40, 41, or several chapters back there. And that temple will then be renovated and removed, I should say, removed at that last rebellion when the nations surround Jerusalem one last time. And after it's removed, there's no more temple. There is no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. What's that mean? The conditions that were lost in the Garden of Eden are now restored. And that ought to knock your socks off unless you're not wearing any. Genesis 3:8. Now, see, this is where you read Revelation and you want to know the other 65 books because they just open your eyes so much. Genesis 3:8, they were hiding from this. It says, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Now that is written in such a way that we understand that it was normal for the Lord God to just walk into the garden and fellowship face to face with Adam and Eve. And they hid because they had sinned. And you and I cannot walk with God face to face in His presence right now. You would not, I used to say you'd drop dead, you would incinerate in His glory. That's why people say, why don't you just show yourself? Because He doesn't want to kill you yet. If He showed Himself as God, you would be destroyed. You remember, Philippians says that Jesus had to empty Himself in order to, as a man, walk among men. And of course, even then, He did all these wonderful works and miracles, and they still rejected Him. The day's coming. And I believe this. I'm not just saying this. I wouldn't tell you this if I didn't believe it. The day's coming when Jesus Christ is going to walk up to you and just talk to you like I'm talking right now. And I think He's going to come up to every one of us at some point and say, let's take a walk. Uh-oh. Ain't nobody going to say, could you come back later? That's what we do to Him now.
Yes, sir.
I'm just being honest. We all do it. Ain't going to do it. Oh, I'd be happy to take a walk with you. I think you're not going to be omniscient, folks. You know, you're still going to be mortal. And I think He's going to say, anything you'd like to ask me? Oh, man, let me weep for a minute. And then I'll ask. You know what I'm saying?
No more tears.
Oh, Tracy, okay. That's probably what Jesus said. Ain't no more weeping up here. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. When He came the first time, He looked just like everybody else. Isaiah 53 says that there was no comeliness in Him, or there was nothing in Him that was extraordinary that by His physical appearance attracted people. Not so here. And in this case, He's glorified.
Amen.
And His glory will just exude light. But you ever thought of this? That's why the New Jerusalem is sometimes called the City of Glory. It's because of His glory that just shines in that city. And when Jesus said, think of this, when Jesus said, I am the light of the world, we take that just spiritually. He's the light of the world, meaning, you know, He died, was buried, rose again, and His gospel is what saves souls. That's true. But it was both spiritual truth and future prophecy. Jesus is, get this, Jesus is the light of the world.
Amen.
Not in just some spiritual sense. Jesus is the Lamb. The Bible says the Lamb will be the light of it. Looking upon Jesus, John the Baptist, as He walked, he saith, behold, the Lamb of God. Jesus is the Lamb. And He said, Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That is a spiritual truth now. It is going to be a tangible truth in that city. Jesus will be walking among His people, and we will then have the light of life from Him. He's literally the light of the world. The Lamb is the light thereof, and He is the light in that city. That's amazing. And so that's where we spend some time trying to come up with artistic depictions. And the reason is because we're already homesick. Yes. We've never been there. I don't know about you, but I get homesick. And when you think of these people, I was sharing with everybody on the line that talked to a few of you before him. Robert Sumner was a great evangelist of the last 70 years. He died at the age of 94 yesterday. And so many men that we don't agree with on everything, but so many of these men who are responsible for a lot of us being saved. My dad was saved under a sermon by Robert Sumner. And then my dad had a lot to do with leading me to the Lord. And so if Robert Sumner had not been preaching in Portsmouth, Ohio before I was born, when would my dad have gotten saved? I don't know. I don't know what the answer to that is. But I do know, thankfully, he was there. He was preaching the gospel. Robert Miller got saved. And then he raised me to understand the gospel. And I was a late bloomer, considering I was raised in a good Christian home. But at 19, I got saved. And see, think about that. That ripple effect. The old story about the lady that I believe she was a shoe salesman that led D.L. Moody. That may have been the only person she had ever led to the Lord. But think of that ripple effect. They say 1 million souls were saved because of D.L. Moody's ministry. Yep. And those stories are told over and over and over again. And here we are looking at, on a human level, folks, it's a little scary. Because the men, you know, it's just like a kid when he gets out on his own, you know, it's scary business. You're paying your own bills. Who knew you had to call the electric company and tell them to put the bill in your name? You know what I mean? It's scary because you don't know what, and then you're like, what else did I forget to do, you know? Well, we're kind of like that in American Christianity today. The men that I've listened to since I was saved, almost all gone. J. Vernon McGee, Lester Roloff, Chuck Smith, Dave Hunt, Peter Ruckman, who just died. How long has that been?
April.
And on and on it goes. Now Robert Sumner is the latest of the well-known evangelists, that sort of thing.
Jack Chick.
That's who I was trying to think of. What was that? 2-3 weeks ago, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Jack Chick's gone. And thankfully, some of these guys have left ministries and they left their books and things. But it's still not the same as having the leadership. And so now we're looking at two things. Is we have simultaneously two things going on. Is number one, the loss of our leaders, our captains, you know. But also, this new generation doesn't want to follow. Everybody wants to be a chief. And so there's this vacuum now. And it's setting the stage for the apostasy, which has already taken place on a large scale. So you see all this, and then that's my comfort, is to see and think, you know, well, maybe if that's what's got to happen, it's got to happen. God said it was going to happen. And we're going to come to this time where there's going to be a great falling away. And I believe at the time of the rapture, that falling away is done. Just as we've talked about some of these things sinking in, you think about that rapture happening. If you're left behind, I pray no one here is left behind. If you're left behind, it'll be the only time since the resurrection of Jesus Christ that there hasn't been a single believer alive on planet Earth. Since the day of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there's never been a time where there were no Christian believers on the planet. And the moment after the rapture, that's the case. It is a complete falling away. There's nothing but apostasy left. That's a comfort here. That's your comfort right there. If you're not getting a hold of this, you don't have your comfort. Christians, I constantly run across them out in the streets and in my own circle of people I talk to. They lack peace. They lack comfort. And right there is the comfort. And this generation is so not even concerned about this. They don't want to learn about it. They want to hear about it. And go look at the books. There's only been one book in the last decade I know of that was about the biblical teaching of heaven. Everybody will read those books where some little kid died, came back and said he saw, we get to ride hippopotamuses in heaven, All this nonsense, it's not based on Scripture. It doesn't match Scripture. And people eat those books up. But these where you really are told truth about the Bible. Yawn. Put her down. And so my encouragement to you tonight is this. This is your encouragement. And if it's not a huge encouragement, I'm just shooting straight with you. You need to get along with God and get right. If that's not a huge encouragement to you in your walk with the Lord and thinking about home and where Jesus said He's gone to prepare a place for you, if that's not hugely exciting to you, go home, get alone with God, and just ask Him, Lord, give me that. Give me that. Help me to see that. Help me to have that kind of excitement and love for my home. And help me not to think of this as my home. Too many people, that's what they think of as home. This ain't it. This world is not my home. We're just a passing through. Amen. All right. So, close with a word of prayer. Father, we thank You for this study. Thank You for these truths. Thank You for some folks who love Your Word and really want to learn it and really want to learn about home. It's great to be able to gather together with people with the like-minded love for the King James Bible. All of us love Jesus. We're saved and thankful for what Jesus has done for us. His shed blood, the power of His resurrection, the promise of His return. Lord, I pray if there's anybody out there listening to this right now or in the future, by internet or radio or however it is they hear it, if they don't know Jesus, Lord, help them to understand their need of salvation. Sinners need to understand that they're lost and need to understand how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that He was buried and that He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. And once we preach that gospel, the only thing left for us to do is call on them to repent toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's all we can do. Our job is done. And we just leave it between that lost soul and Your Holy Spirit. And we thank You for every single one of them who hear the gospel through this ministry. And I mean everybody in this room as part of this ministry. And many who aren't here tonight, part of this ministry, preaching the gospel, giving out the gospel tracts. Thank You, Lord. And now we ask for safe travel as everyone goes home. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we have a few minutes for a Q&A, but if you have to run off, feel free to. If you don't ask any questions, there's more where that came from. So I'll leave it up to you. Either Q&A or more George Jones. Okay, Kim.
Is there some kind of perversion on the birthstones? Is there some kind of like occultic type?
All of those natural stones and even minerals, mineral oils, all those things they've taken, and there's a perverted use for them. And they'll use them, some of them, there's a thing where they'll stare into the stone until they have visions or hear voices and that sort of thing. So yeah, there's an occult alternative to almost everything in the Bible. And just like in the pagan religions, there's occult alternatives to the virgin birth and the resurrection and heaven. You know, there's perversions.
Do you feel like it's all right for women to like wear their birthstone?
Oh yeah. Yeah, everything comes down to, you know, what are you doing with it? How are you using it? It's like I've given an example of, you know, you go down to the Catholic Church down here and you got a statue of Mary in a grove and people getting down and, you know, doing their rosary and cross themselves and all that. That's an abomination. But you take somebody who, like I do, have a nativity scene in their front yard reminding people that Jesus came as a virgin-born child so that he could grow up and die, was buried and rose again. You remind people of that, and there's nothing wrong with it. You know, if someone were to pull off the road and walk into my front yard and get to their knees in front of that little plastic Mary, I'm going to be out there with my 9mm. Get out of my yard! Yeah, Johnny?
It's an interesting thought on the stones there. Because I don't know if this is true or not, but I took a geology course, and they were saying that a lot of the precious stones are actually made of the same stuff. It's just like different impurities that make the color. So
yeah,
I'd almost wonder then, why does it?
That's why it's so dark in color. But here, it'll be pure and you'll be able to see through it.
I mean, in other words, I guess, would they still have the color?
Well, it's not just impurities, though. So the impurities affect it the way we see it now, but it's not just impurities. And so you put these different stones under the microscope and everything, and you'll find that there are things that separate them that are not. And, of course, too, how are you defining the word impurities? You know, and so that goes into it as well. But they're not just all crystals, and some have red dirt in them, and some have, you know, a little bit of, you know, blue from chlorine or whatever. It's not that simple. And even if you take out any legitimate impurities, there would still be differences.
Okay. It's interesting. There's no diamonds in those.
Well, some claim that the jasper, when it's crystal clear, was sometimes, it was a diamond. They called it jasper back then. So, yeah.
Just a gem tidbit. You can be turned into a diamond if you want to.
Yes, if anybody wants to be turned into a diamond, see Charlie. He'll arrange that. Yeah.
It's still on.
You know what, Jim? I think the Lord wanted us to do that to bring Charlie back down a little bit, because somebody earlier told him he looked like Tom Selleck, and so he needed brought down a notch.
Okay, so I guess that diamond thing is similar to life insurance, right?
Huh?
That diamond thing he's talking about is similar to life insurance.
Yes.
Getting wealthy after your death.
Other people would benefit from you being turned into a diamond.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. It's a wonder if they could make the process less costly, that would probably replace cremation. You know? Like you go to a funeral and there'd be a diamond, you know, with an armed guard, make sure no one took you.
Well, they cremate you. First they cremate you, and then you take the ashes and then you give them to this company, and then they compress them into a blue bag.
There's a future in that.
I think
All right, any other questions you want to ask about the Bible study? If not, we can continue to fellowship. Charlie has a question.
This is about, I was trying to tell Courtney's what Jesus looks like.
Mm-hmm.
So, in Revelation 19, it talks about Jesus, like it talks about his eyes being his fire.
Yeah.
I didn't read the whole chapter because I was just trying to look through it.
Revelation 1 is another good place. Can you look it up, Jenny? Revelation 1, where it describes and.
Does it talk about having white hair?
Yes, white hair, white like wool, which I used your mother as kind of a picture of that, and eyes like fire, feet like brass, and.
His head and his hairs were white like wool. White
as snow, his eyes were the flame of fire, his feet like a divine brass, as if they burned in a furnace,
his voice as the sound of many waters. Yeah, my only criticism of
Jack Chick and Peter Ruckman, the only criticism about, because they, you know, we've talked about how they draw angels and they put wings on them. I'm like, well, what are they going to do? Make them wear a ball cap that says angels? You know, somehow or another, you have to make sure people know they're looking at angels. But I wish they had been a little better with the reference when they showed Jesus that's glorified. You know, that Ruckman has two or three drawings of Jesus returning on a white horse. But when you look at him, he still looks mortal and human with the dark hair and, you know, normal skin color. And I wish they had made him, because he, you know, when he returns, he's going to be like that, you know. So that's just a slight. I still like their stuff there. I'm not saying anything like that, but
the Mount of Transfiguration
was a taste of the glory when Jesus showed himself on the Mount of Transfiguration.
People say, amen.